There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Force Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Napsok for another edition of Star Wars Rank. Mean a guess, ranking things in Star Wars, and this one, I can't believe we hadn't already done. But thanks to some record combing, I confirmed that this will be the first time that we will be ranking the Kenner Star Wars action figures, but with a bit of a take, a twist, a point of view. And speaking of point of views, Joseph Scrimshaw is here with me today. Hello, sir.
I am happy to be here. You know, I'm always happy to talk action figures, and this is where it all began. This is where the journey began for so many of us with these original Kenner action figures. I can smell the plastic and feel the joy.
Oh, yeah. I can picture being in a J.J. Newberry in my hometown and finding a wall of Star Wars figures staring back at me.
Oh, what a feeling.
What a feeling. Going to be a lot of fun. But with Star Wars Ranked, we often throw that word best out there. And it's always from a point of view. It's a ranking with our own personal perspectives and experiences and journeys, whether it's me, Joseph, other guests, me by myself sometimes. But today, we're going to make sure this is our ranking, our favorite Star Wars Kenner action figures. And the reason for that, Joseph, I feel is... I really wanted this list for me, and your list can deviate, as, of course, but for me to be the figures that I had, the ones that I had in my hands or on the playgrounds or in my backyard or were in that lunch pail, the box, the fateful day I sold all my Star Wars figures at that garage sale I talk about often. Oh, the garage sale of 1986. I wanted a real strong connection to them. You know, Joseph?
Yeah, absolutely. I kind of went into this saying, okay, what am I going to do? Is it going to be the figures that I loved, that had the most moments that I connected to as a kid? Or am I going to gravitate towards some of the ones I didn't have and coveted?
Yeah.
And I think I only have one covet in my runner-up. But other than that, I really focused on what they meant to me, because I think that is, you know, that's the power of these action figures. Ultimately, they really were this symbol of you can take the adventure home and continue it, you know?
That is big and that is huge. And, you know, what's collecting toys without a little bit of coveting? I think that drives the whole industry, I think, at times. I mean, we've ranked a lot of merchandise memorabilia. We've ranked figures we want, behind-the-scenes figures we want. A lot of the things have been on Star Wars Rank. And you and I started the Power of the Force 2 line. That was kind of going to be it. And we just kind of had a great experience going forward with the figure lines from there. So I just kind of assumed in the back of my mind that we had already taken a look at Kenner, but we really hadn't. So, Joseph, we'll get into this list here. But before we do, I was curious, like, do you recall kind of your first figure in hand, or when you were aware of it, or what do you have for that memory?
Yeah, it is so early. It is you know, a little foggy and dreamlike. Some of my memories are real specific, and some of them are a little dreamlike. I was young enough that I don't remember like what the first one was. Because we had some, my brother and I, who's 3 years older, we had some, and then some other kids basically tricked us into stealing them. Don't even remember the details of. But even before that, I remember a birthday, and I don't even remember. I was so young. I partially only remember it because there are photos of me very young with I had blonde hair as I was growing up, and then it turned on me, which is fine. Me with a blonde hair, some extremely loud late 70s shirt, just joyfully unwrapping Star Wars wrapping paper, and there's a Chewbacca inside. And I remember that I think relatives gave me two Chewbaccas, like different relatives gave me a Chewbacca, and I remember feeling really happy that I was being good and sharing and gave one of the Chewbaccas to my brother. That's probably my earliest memory.
Earliest memory of that, and earliest memory of your Jedi-like behavior. That is just wonderful. That is wonderful.
There was a lot of Sith behavior throughout my life as well. I do not want to lie.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm with you too. And just a couple episodes of Star Wars Ranked ago, I sat down and kind of ranked my personal memories of Star Wars and the building blocks of my love of it, which is always something big for me in my discussions about Star Wars, of just that feeling of you connecting to even something you don't understand. And so I documented a little bit better there, a little bit more detail. But there was an incident in my hometown where I was born, the city of Orange, California. A friend of the family, neighbor, was at a party. And long story short, I was a quiet kid who didn't love to hang out with the other kids. And I was in the living room of this house, and my dad was there. And then the dad of the house came down and presented and said, maybe Kenny would like to look at these. And it was the Darth Vader and C-3PO collector cases. And just pulled them down and was going. I remember him going one by one. This is so-and-so, this is so-and-so. And my dad has always been a casual Star Wars fan, but he just loves like model shipbuilding and model making, that kind of stuff. And he's an engineer. So he was really obsessed with, like, I remember him kind of being interested in what they looked like and everything. And I just, that's the first time. I had no idea really what I was seeing. And then from there, it's like you. It's like, I remember a friend had this, or I went to my cousin's house and they had a Luke or something. And then I thought Battlestar Galactica and Buck Rogers were all the same as Star Wars. So I'd see some of their figures and connect them. So it wasn't a couple years later, like you said, till it really started to emerge. But it's weird that both of our memories of it have a little bit of that fog of Dagobah. Just like, I kind of remember it, but I don't.
Yeah. Everything for me is like snippets. I remember that there was a period where I wanted to take them everywhere, and I I have like vague, like this is so weird to me now as like a collector who truly wants to preserve them, and you know I have to get two to take them out of the package, even them, like but I have memory of like shoving Luke into my pocket because we were going to Walgreens. Like he's got to come with, you know,
he's got to go on the ride. I think it was maybe Star Wars Celebration. I think I brought one of my figures and I put it in my my jacket. You know what I did? I did that at my old job. Remember the job I got in trouble for displaying figures? My last day or week, I had a Star Wars figure in my suit pocket sticking out for the whole week.
Which figure?
I'll reveal it later.
Ooh, excellent, excellent. We've teed that up for some pocket revelation.
Yeah, so... we are going to look at our favorite Kenner Star Wars action figures, 5-1. And because it's a very personal list, there's probably figures we could put in the Hall of Fame, but this is our own. So we'll go in to the list right now. Joseph, with your number 5.
Yeah, so this, we always say, almost every time, this was hard. This was the hardest ranked ever. And I kind of went into this thinking, like, this is going to be really, really difficult. And it definitely was hard to winnow it down. But I realized, like, part of the reason that I thought it was going to be difficult is the place of the Kenner figures is so emotionally huge that when I looked at this great list on Jedi Business, I was like, oh, yeah, compared to many collectibles today, there aren't that many in the grand scheme of things. And like, I so remember coveting the ones that I didn't have, but I think that was more about vehicles and PlayStations because I had a lot of them. And my first reaction when I went to find my number 5 was, oh, wow, there aren't as many of these. Like it's imagining comparing this to the number of Funko Pops just from like one film.
Yeah.
Is bonkers. Yeah. So anyway, with that said, my number 5 is Leia, right?
Yes.
Of course. But which one? Well, that is a surprise reveal, and it is the surprise reveal of Leia disguised as the bounty hunter Bush Bosh Boosh, however you choose to say it. I think I said Bush, and I think that's probably not right. But yeah, the figure is absolutely great. It is just to kind of take a step back, obviously the figures came out after New Hope, the famous empty box campaign, all that. Those memories are super foggy. By the time of Empire, I was a little bit more aware that action figures were a thing, and I have very specific memories of Empire figures. But then in that wait to Return of the Jedi, I'm getting older and memories are getting clearer. And one of the big things in between Empire and Jedi is what felt to me at the time like a huge leap forward in action figure technology. Mm-hmm. So this is not old man yelling at Cloud. This is old man celebrating Cloud with tear running down his eye. This is a joyful thing. The just shock and awe, like we had landed on the moon, like we had landed on Mars. It felt to me like they have the technology. They can have fake helmets and you can remove them. And then you can see the character underneath. We've done it. We've reached the pinnacle of society. That's what it felt like from my perspective at the time. So yeah. I often loved the troops or the creatures because it was easier to mold them and they looked cooler and weirder. So I loved the bounty hunters. I loved the bounty hunter armor. That was just a cool figure. That mask was cool. So it was just a cool figure by itself, but then that you could lift the helmet and there was Leia underneath there. That was just like next level. And by that age, I was, aware that sometimes you might not be able to find things. So like I was on the hunt for her anytime we left the house. I was like, can we stop, any one of these places where there might be action figures? I remember the day that we found her at a Sears and I think my mom was shopping for clothes and I was just like, can we go home right now? Cause I need to play. And my mom was like, no,
no.
Oh, be patient. So I had to learn a Jedi lesson to get my hands on Princess Leia Organa, Boosh disguise. Yeah. Yeah, in fact, I remember now as I'm looking at the figure that we had some part from another action figure. I think it was like a generic knight action figure we had, and the pommel of their sword fell off. I think that's what it was, but it was a little silver ball, and I used that as the thermal detonator.
Get out of here. Wow, that's some awesome fate. Look at that. I do love the, back in the day when you're young, you had the weird collection of just a bunch of different action figures. I had a Tonka gas station repairman action figure that was also in my Star Wars figure set.
Yeah, there's like those weird, just like normal human action figures for a while, you know?
Yeah. That's what he was. Just a dude. He'll fix your radiator. So,
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, I could go on and on about all these action figures, each individual one. So I'm going to try to contain myself a little bit. But, you know, boil it down. It was the advancement in technology. It was the love of the Leia character. Having it in hand was, it was driving home how cool this was that, yeah, Leia was cool, but she was in, you know, fatigues or dresses. But now she's a bounty hunter. To be able to hold that idea in your hand was so cool.
Look, and Bausch, as I said it, but I love, it's from almost day one of Force Center. Bausch Booth has been one of our bingo card entries, and I love it, and which speaks to the different but shared experience. This, you talk about the technology. Yeah, just looking here in Jedi Business, you go to 77, and then you come back here in 83. This is just a wonderfully sculpted figure. It's vibrant, and that helmet coming off is next level indeed. But even like, from the back, just the way the cape, the cloak kind of falls, cascades down out of the figure. They really did a good job with this figure in an era that, just by the era it's in, it's not going to be super detailed.
Yeah. And it's also like, you know, back in the day, I saw it in the theater once and like, great, you saw the movie. And then, you know, it took me a very long time to see it again. So these action figures were also a way to like study the details. And like probably the next time I saw the film, like I appreciated the fun swoop of her half cape because I'd been, you know, turning this action figure around and around in my hands.
Yeah, that's a great way to say it. Great way to say it. And again, the helmet coming off, that's big because a little bit later, you know, you need Luke and Han to take their stormtrooper helmets off. Right. So we needed that.
Exactly right. So, yeah, that's my number five, Leia in disguise.
That is a great start. We're going to my number five. We are going to Empire Strikes Back, though. I picked up this figure a little bit later, which was great because you could. They were still out there. And this is Bespin Security Guard 1. That's right. Bespin Security Guard 1. There were two released. And this is, he's got the mustache. He is, if you look on the card back, it's like not the guy that's the figure. Like the guy in the card has like a beard. And this is the big Fu Manchu kind of mustache. It's a lot going on, but I love this one, and released in 1980. But like I said, again, I did not get it until Jedi era. And the reason I love this is it's just one of those things of just, this is a little thing in Star Wars. And they're obviously very much in the Cloud City sequences. They're all around. They have some key parts with Lobot helping save the day. But you know, they're not heroes. They're not, you don't know their names. And you're here, you just kind of want to collect it all. And I had one of those fateful days. You kind of mentioned too, you find a figure at Sears or something like that. I was, I remember my mom and dad got something back called a tax return. No idea what that meant. I just knew return of the taxes. We got to go have pizza. And the next door to the pizza restaurant, I think it's a round table pizza that's still in my hometown of Rio Grande, California, but it's definitely of the era. It was like the round table pizza, toy store next to it, and a Lucky grocery store next to it, which I don't even think exists anymore. It's some other grocery store. And so we got to have the pizza. Then mom and dad were like, you get to go in the toy store and you get to pick a Star Wars figure. I had everything in front of me, Joseph. I had any type of figure there because this was the era, wall of figures, and I chose this guy. I just needed him. I needed him for my adventures. I needed him for my storytelling. There was something about the blue with the gold trim, the blaster, maybe even the mustache, because it kind of looked like my dad's mustache in the era. I don't know. And I just was pulled in by this figure, and it remained in my collection to unfortunately I sold them all. But so therefore, because of that, much like, hey, Ken loves the Y-Wings because he got that Y-Wing. I've told that story ad nauseum here, but I love every time I go to Empire Strikes Back and watch it, I can't help but look at all the security guards in the background of Bespin because I had this figure.
That's so great. Yeah, the way it can be, the figures can come from the movie or you can kind of come to the movie because of the figures. Yeah. Were you aware that your family was strong in the security that your family, I know your family has, a history of being police officers and security officers. Did you know that? Is that why you gravitated towards a security guard?
Yeah, my uncle was, he was during this era. He'd actually be in LAPD's Devonshire Division, and I would go down and visit him. So I was aware of it. Yeah, there might have been some of that. And there's a little bit of the design is that kind of navy bluish kind of color. It might have been that, and had no idea where my life would end up for 17 years in a day job in that industry. But yeah, it could have been. It could have been something of me just wanting to give those folks in the background, keeping things safe, the do, I guess. I don't know. Even though they didn't do a great job at the beginning, but then when the time came, they held their blasters up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it just really struck me that you picked this one. You've mentioned the Bespin security guard before, and I've just been in my own nostalgia going, yeah, cool. But it just, these action figures are these symbols of this great fantasy world, and I did not grow up to be a bounty hunter or a Jedi. But you actually grew up to become a security guard.
Yeah. Dreams, kids, dreams. Yeah. And now you have, now I wish I had this figure even more.
Yeah. And now we just need some podcast characters in Star Wars so we can buy those action figures. They're coming.
If I had that hat on the job, that would have been great. Oh, yeah. I want Force Center action figures like no tomorrow.
And just a great reason for me to revisit this action figure. I forget that the design of the security guard and translated here on the action figure with that gold trim and that little design that really echoes how elegant and designed Bespin is. That's really awesome.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely adds to the aesthetic. So that is the start of my list. Bespin Security Guard 1. What is your number 4, sir?
My number 4 is traveling back in time and in technology to a less advanced action figure. And that is, I'm not even calling by that name. I'm sorry. When we're talking about this action figure, the name is Walrus Man. Not Ponda Baba. This action figure is Walrus Man. These are very, very young foggy memories, but I've had Ponda Baba for a long time. So when I was a kid, born in a small resort town in northern Minnesota called Brainerd, and then we moved to Portland, Oregon. Lived in Portland, Oregon during Empire Strikes Back, and a lot of just great memories are all centered around Portland. That's the place where Empire Strikes Back lives. And I've been there many times since, but it's so formative. But we had this we took a truck and had a cross-country road trip when we moved both there and back, and I think it was on the way there I have these really early formative memories of stopping at a different store means you might find different action figures. And Brainerd's been built up a lot, as many more rural areas have across America, but there weren't as many stores, so I'm sure it was harder to find them, so I think I was probably blown away. We probably stopped at a larger who even knows what kind of department store it was at that, wherever we were in the country. But I specifically remember that there was a action pack of two or three of the Cantina characters. Like, I haven't looked it up and I'm a little foggy, but they were the Cantina aliens. And I remember my brother and I deciding to get that one, and we were going to split them up, and he got Hammerhead and I got Walrus Man, and I wanted Walrus Man because he's just weird. And then, so I loved him. He's been in my collection ever since. I don't know how his head is still attached, because his head has been wobbling longer than many of the people listening to this podcast have been alive. His head has been wobbly since 1982. And, you know, if you're not familiar with this action figure, it is in that era where they're just like, okay, make a couple of the aliens. There's the Walrus Man, right? Does he have a Walrus Man? Do we have any really great reference of what he's wearing? Does it need to be accurate? No.
No.
His torso is bright effing orange. His arms and legs are just really royal blue. And he's a Walrus Man, right? So his feet are flippers, right? Good to go. But none of us, I know, you just can't get away from some of the, let us tell you about the olden times in this episode.
Sure.
They were not going to be able to get away with it. I apologize. But just none of that mattered, right?
Yeah, no.
There was no sense that they needed to be screen accurate. I didn't remember what was screen accurate, you know?
Yeah.
It was just a foggy memory of, oh, the scary guy who gets mad at Luke, and now I have him in action figure form.
Look, when they started releasing better versions of Ponda Bob, and I'm seeing a lot of them on the page, I remember seeing those and going, well, that's not accurate. He wore an orange vest, not a jacket.
Yeah. I remember the Power of the Force being like, wow, that's actual Ponda Bob. Amazing. Amazing. And that's his name, Ponda Bob. And he's an Aqualish from Ando. Cool.
Yeah.
I think for me, I always liked the creatures. As well as the main characters, he was one of the creatures that I really gravitated toward. Mm-hmm. And he is, to me, a symbol of what is so important about this era of the action figures, that it was you saw a strange, exotic character on screen for a couple of seconds. Maybe you even remembered seeing them. Maybe you didn't. Mm-hmm. The whole point of it was this guy named Walrus Man exists in the same world as Luke and Han and Leia. And now you decide what he does. You know, don't write a think piece. Just play. Make up an adventure.
Man, that applies to the current times too. Anyways. Yeah. I love this. And I love, look at Hammerhead. Greedo. I love Greedo. He's in a green jumpsuit. Hammerhead. He's in kind of something sexy, a little aerobics outfit there with the high cut over the hip.
He is. He's going to be doing like a jazzercise.
Yeah. He's getting physical. And then of course the snail too, but the different versions are well celebrated and documented, but yeah, Ponda Baba, I love, because you could easily just name him as, because he's a legendary figure in his own way, Walrus Man. But I love your connection to it and that you have it. That's wonderful.
Yeah. So that is my number four, Walrus Man.
Oh, I love it. Well, the next one on my list, my number four, we are going a little bit later on here. And I just want to, as I'm scrolling, I just want to make sure it's in the, is it in the Empire era? Was it released during that time? I believe it was.
It was, but I think it was not in the initial batch.
That is right. Okay. Yeah, there you go. Thank you for that. Because I am talking about C-3PO with removable limbs. Oh, yes. Breakaway C-3PO with the cargo net. Without a doubt, documented character in terms of figure in terms of people love this one, celebrate this one, mention it. It's a good pop culture reference too. Released in 82. You're definitely right there. Joint count 5, but does it matter? Cause they're not connected. Loved this one. And I was fortunate enough to also have a Chewie, and you could, stretch Chewie's arms back and slip the cargo net on. And I don't think I ever had 3PO built. I just had him apart in that backpack. It was just too cool not. And it was just an amazing concept as a youngster to, you saw it on the film, and I saw Empire last of the bunch, really. And so to find, I think I may have even had the figure before I saw.
Wow.
It. And so to like get full context of what I had in my hand, love it. And I just, I wish I could smell the cargo net, that kind of plasticky, that musty plasticky. I can smell it right now as I'm talking to y'all. And I wish I had it of perhaps all the figures that I lost in that great garage sale cell of 86, man. I think this might be the one I missed the most, just because it just was always in that net. It was always on the back of my Chewie. And it was always there for me to just have those adventures. And I understood just 3PO was he was a slow moving guy, Solo's yelling at him, hurry up, Goldenrod, most of the movie. And so I got it. Like, he was in the bag. It was just easier to move him around from my adventures in my backyard. So Love this figure. Love everything about it. What a great idea. Especially talking about tech, you know, come on. The limbs come off. We're in new territory here, friends.
Yeah. And I think, you know, back in the day in Empire Strikes Back, it was one of those things that gave Star Wars some energy in comparison to, you know, sitcoms you were watching or even like procedurals that reset, right? The idea that something as audacious as 3PO is blown apart was fascinating. You wanted to play that to almost kind of like work through mm-hmm. it, you know? And I remember my brother wanted to play it so bad. I think removable limbs 3PO hadn't come out yet, but I think somehow we knew, maybe we saw him in like an upcoming catalog or something.
Yeah.
And my brother couldn't wait. He wanted to play out this scenario. Mm-hmm. And I remember me going, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that. And him going like, no, I have to. But you know, he knew that 3PO had the one arm that stayed, got reattached. So he broke off both legs and the one arm of his normal 3PO because he couldn't wait for C-3PO with removable limbs.
Oh man, what we do for the art.
Yep. It's and great. It was, you know, we had, like I said, when we were very, very young, we had had that, you know, uncomfortable, upsetting incident where some kids stole our action figures and we had to go over there with our parents and say, hey, we need these action figures back. And we got some of them, but not all of them. And, and then we would play with other kids and, you know, no judgment as an adult, but other kids were like rough on their action figures. And if you let them play with yours, they'd smash them around. And we really got to a point of like, we have realized that if we move their limbs too often, they will become loose. We don't want their paint to chip off. And like other kids don't touch our action figures because they're going to be rough on them. They're one of these bruisers is going to come over and smash our stuff. So we really had a, like, we played with them. We, you know, as I've said before, we shot them with rubber bands to simulate blaster fights. We always put pillows underneath where they would fall. So it was a real, like, it was like a breaking of a code when my brother was like, I have to do it for narrative integrity. I got to do violence to one of our action figures, you know.
First of all, I think you and I could have been great neighbors because I would have been like, Joseph, you can't touch my figures. And he would have been like, same. Because I had that feeling too. I had a friend. I won't name him. I don't know where he is anymore. But he was just breaking them, rough, dirty, chipped. And then worse than that, Joseph, the stories he told with them were just so boring.
The greatest sin.
No intrigue. No character development. No drama. I'm with you on that. That's great. But to all that to prove the point of breaking the limb. That's a lot.
Yeah, but the great figure and the fact that it came with the bag so you could have it be interactive with Chewie. So great.
Love it indeed. So that is my number four, and we're on to your number three of our favorite of the Kenner Star Wars figures.
My number three is probably many people's number ones. It's hard for me to not have it be the number one, but it is from Return of the Jedi, Jedi Knight Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked about this figure a decent amount because, you know, it is the symbol of what Luke becomes. It's such a cool figure. I have told this story on Force Center before, so I'll keep it short. At the time that Return of the Jedi was coming out, we lived in St. Cloud, in about an hour drive from Minneapolis, and we knew the figures were going to be coming out. The movie was coming out at some point, and, you know, just about every other weekend, we'd drive into Minneapolis, and for whatever reason, my brother wasn't coming with that week. And I really wanted to know if the Return of the Jedi figures are out and we can each get one, who do you want? And he was like, let's, you know, I'm going to teach you about expectations, younger brother. It's too soon. They're not going to be out, you know? So I really had this, like this very Star Wars, like, I know I'm wrong, but there's this hope in my heart. And we went to Sears, and it really was like I turned around and there were fireworks because there was this wall, you know, you speak of the wall, and I'd been seeing the same wall. It's, you know, great, amazing, but it's the Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back wall, and suddenly an explosion of new figures of all of these Return of the Jedi figures. And right there in the center was this Luke. This is the era where, in the comic books pretty soon, almost every character was going to experiment with wearing all black. It's just something in the water of the 80s that it was cool to see your hero, but they're all in black like a bad guy, but they're still the hero. That was so compelling to me. And having been of the age to wonder what is going to happen in Return of the Jedi after living with Empire Strikes Back. Mm. That big question was, you know, Luke trains, he becomes a Jedi, he does all these cool things, he can do these cool flips, he can kind of keep up with Darth Vader, but Darth Vader just takes it to him in the film. And my little kid mind was just all about, can Luke ever become a Jedi? Right. And it was almost tied to like the, can I ever become, you know, strong and capable and independent and, you know, all these things. Yeah. And this figure just hanging there, it just was all those things, you know. It was Han's line in the movie about when Chewie's trying to tell him, like, no, Luke's coming for us, so it's going to be okay. And he's like, Luke, he can't even take care of himself. A Jedi Knight. Just the power that this figure said, Jedi Knight. And he had a cloak. And he came with a saber that was the correct color, not just yellow for some reason. And the blaster. And there's like, it was just the culmination of so many things in figure form. And I grabbed him up. And my brother had told me, Gamorrean guard. So he got a Gamorrean guard. I got the Jedi Knight Luke Skywalker. And I just played with the hell out of that action figure that summer. I loved it so much. Here's a still in the Return of the Jedi storybook of when Luke is giving into his hate and he is pounding down on Vader's saber when Vader has fallen over by the railing and his, you know, arm is all the way back with the saber. Mm-hmm. And this figure had the slightly bent arm. So like I would, you know, bend his arm back with the saber in it to recreate that image of he's slashing down with the lightsaber. So this one, you know, I kind of can't say enough about it. It's a real pivotal one for me. And I think for a lot of people, for their attachment to Luke as he, you know, reaches this moment of maturity and becomes a true Jedi Knight, you know.
Love. Everything you're saying is so so awesome. And our pal Mark Riley has a kind of a similar experience. And also this was his trailer for the movie, like his mom giving him the figure and like, oh my God, what's Luke doing? And he's in all black. I love that. I love that once again, kind of a unique but shared experience and to see what this figure means to you. But now I got to ask you, you know, this is also Mando season 2, Luke, right? So is there added weight to this figure now?
It is. There is a part of me that wants them to put out like the retro one with Jedi Knight Luke Skywalker carries Grogu.
Yeah.
I mean, they do have the vintage Grogu. So I guess I could just recreate that. This one's a little banged up. The one, mine that I own, he's got a little the chip on his nose. I did move his arm back a little bit too often. So it's a little loose. I would love to. Honestly, in kind of a non-joking way, it's been a weird journey with this era of Luke, right? Because I know what he means to me from my perspective, and from my perspective, he's always meant fulfillment of what you're trying to be, you know?
Yeah.
And as I got older and was rewatching, Return of the Jedi on VHS, I really had that. You know, when I was a kid, I was just like, amazing. I didn't think there's any outcome other than he kills Vader or Vader kills him. I didn't. Wow. He turned Vader. But then the full weight of throwing the blade aside, you know, settled in. And that's who this character has been to me. And it has been a weird journey that there are some fans and I'm not begrudging it. It's just a different perspective. There are some fans who I think are really into Jedi Knight Black Luke because he's so powerful in the movie and because he kicks ass. And I love that. I love the power fantasy of Luke. I love every action moment he has in Return of the Jedi. But I do perceive for like some fans, the connection is he kicks ass. Yeah. And there is a little bit of a disconnect for me because that's not what he means to me. That's not what this action figure means to me. I look at this action figure and I think, you know, a hero has returned to save people. I don't think he's going to kick your effing ass, you know?
Yeah. I'll be back. It's not that. Yeah.
Exactly. It's not that part of the 80s.
Yeah.
It's this other more unique part of the 80s.
Which is, again, what's so wonderful about Luke in that movie in that era and why we love it. And it's also just a damn good figure. Kate
it Lights is.
Blaster. Great stuff. Mm. So that is your number three. If that's only your number three, what have we got coming our way? My number three is certainly a little less powerful, both on screen and maybe in our hearts, but has a lot of connection to it and is one of the two figures that is still in my life from that original batch. He just happened to not be in the lunch pail when I sold the figures, and that is AT-AT Commander. That's right, AT-AT Commander. Because that's what the Kenner commercial told us back then. And this was, of course, supposed to be General Veers. He could have very well have been in another era, maybe even just a couple years later. But the generic AT-AT Commander, and it's a striking figure. I love his armor, his breastplate there. It just pops out. He's got a blaster, which in my head was like, did he have that in the Walker in the movie? Was he going to blow up the shield generator with it? I don't know. There's questions. The classic Imperial helmet with that kind of hard-edged kind of triangle. And it's just so simple. You all know I love my Imperial officers for whatever weird reason. And this might be one of those reasons. I just love the figure. And I, too, will say that, unfortunately, the figure now does have that chipped paint nose, the thing that afflicted a lot of Kenner figures over the age. It looks like he just bonked his head on someone else's armor when the paint wasn't dry. Maybe the head cannon had to tell myself. Don't even remember where I got this figure, unlike the Bespin security guard, where I remember the day, the moment, the time. This one just ended up in my life, which is also part of the fun of that era of being a collector. You didn't race all the time to the store. Sometimes it just showed up. And you had it. Mom bought it. Dad bought it. You bought it. It doesn't matter. It's there. And so that is the AT-AT Commander for me. Love the figure. Made me love Veers. And I'm so glad I still have it.
Yeah. I know for me, like, I didn't have the AT-AT Commander. And sometimes the thing would happen where you had a day like you were describing of the tax return of the magic day of, like, it's just a surprise. Like, you can get one today. And then you have to pick from what's available, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes I think those are the ones where, like, sometimes I don't remember because it's just like, I know I got to get one, but it wasn't, like, the one I was dreaming of is the one that was there. Mm. But what kind of stories did you make up for AT-AT Commander Veers?
Well, the weirdest thing, and this is really weird to say, but he ended up in my Y-Wing, which is why I didn't sell the Y-Wing at the garage sale. And I think he just was in there piloting the Y-Wing. So now we're just all over the place. Canon, it doesn't even matter. Just reality doesn't even, what is up is down and down is up. And so I think that's that was kind of my adventures. Is I only had him to fly around in the Y-Wing. So he was a turncoat on the Imperials and join the rebellion against his former employers.
You had a Trojan Veers hiding in the Y-Wing. That's great.
Yeah,
that's awesome. And he is a really cool figure. It was hard for me to not put some of the Imperial figures like this because they're just their crisp uniforms made them just kind of a different and fascinating character to turn around in your hands.
Yeah. Yeah. So love AT-AT Commander. I think he's in my storage. There's a little box. I gotta dig. I mean, I have no space for this stuff anymore, but you know, he's so important. I gotta go grab, AT-AT Commander. You too can control the AT-AT. Just get it this winter. All right. By the way, I love watching those vintage Kenner figures on a loop on YouTube. That's a good Tuesday afternoon.
Absolutely. I sometimes find myself about to click it and I was like, nope, can't. That'll be my whole day if I start watching these. And I think I didn't want the AT-AT Commander too because I couldn't deal with the pain that I didn't have an AT-AT for him to command.
That's true. I never got my hands on that. Wasn't that fortunate. Good life. Not fortunate enough to have an AT-AT. That is my number three, which means we're up to your number two.
My number two, we're going back to Empire Strikes Back, and we are going to the love of the creatures and the bounty hunters. This is just like, I couldn't make this list without putting this character on it, because it is just a character that I spent a lot of time with, and that is Bossk. bounty hunter Bosk. I've come to really like the character Bosk. Gets filled out with being a Trandoshan hunter species that's in this kind of constant conflict with the Wookiees. Grow up to become a Doctor Who fan and realize that his costume is from William Hartnell's final episode, first appearance of the Cybermen, the 10th Planet. All these great Bosk details. But when I was a kid, he was a lizard man whose arms and blaster were different. part of this fascination of these figures is, again, like you just got all this time down on the floor alone in your own little world, turning them around and around and studying them and appreciating how the blasters fit in their hands. And Bosk was so different because, you know, he looked cool and scary in the detailed costume and the little scales on his arms. But the one arm is just this, like, you know, flat lizard claw. And then the other one is the lizard claw is just kind of folded. It's not like a full handhold grip like the way Han or the Bespin security guard grabs their blaster. And and a lot of those characters came with a similar kind of blaster, either the DL-44 or the really standard blaster that the security guard came with. Bosk has his own rifle that's his, that fits into his hand, but then also the crook of his arm. Yeah. And it just made him so different and unique. I think that's why I was obsessed with him as a kid.
By the way, I think his non-gun hand looks like he's got an oven mitt on. like he's cooking some pasta and he's grabbing he's going to drain that pasta.
Yeah, he's going to kick your ass and make some apple crisp at the same time. Yeah.
This also, for 1980, this is a great sculpt, as they would say. Great colors, the yellow pops against the green, the detail, the scales. That's something that's very different. You're right. Like, you're looking at that going, this is what's going on here. This is not like my other figures.
Yeah, and I probably had a relationship with him from the film, but also more from the storybook. And, you know, this is in that for me, beautiful height of living in Portland, 1980, Empire Strikes Back, the summer, you know, that everything was Empire Strikes Back, and collecting trading cards as well. And, you know, having one of my favorite trading cards, you know, that I'd stare at all the time is just being the lineup of bounty hunters. And, you know, this is also in the era of time where my brother and I would kind of divide up favorites, and he was just all about Boba Fett. So I was all about Bosk. And there was an extra level of, like, he's my guy, even though I knew nothing about him. Right. He's just kind of an image and an idea that, you know, that growls. But it made him mine, you know?
Oh, that's great. I mean, I know history might record that your brother got the better part of that deal, but I don't think so. Over time, I think Bosk has become more interesting to more people. So it's a split. It's a split. It's a push. You both win, but I think you're okay with Bosk. That's great.
Yeah, no, I'm very happy to be a Bosk guy. I think, obviously, I really, really adore Boba Fett. I said more than enough about him during our Mandalorian coverage, and we'll say more. But yeah, absolutely love Bosk, and this action figure really, really tied me to him, and I still get to enjoy it then to this day when he shows up in a new story, because I have this relationship that was forged by this weird little piece of plastic.
Hey, that's why we're here. That's why we're here, having those conversations with these weird little pieces of plastic.
Yeah, so that's my number two.
Number two, indeed. Well, we are going to my number two, and we're sticking in the same era. We're going back to 1980, though again, probably got this a little bit later, because you could walk in, and if the figures weren't on the wall, they had those bargain bin basement, kind of things you could look through at the end. I said basement. It's not a basement. Bargain bins at the end of the aisle, and you could dig through and find yourself a figure. So again, I don't remember when and where I got this figure, but man, he's a important one to me. You already mentioned him, but this is my version. It is Luke Skywalker Hoth Battle Gear. Right. I had this figure. I love it. It's got a blaster with a rifle with a little, you can hang it on his arm. Nothing else really moves except for, you know, he's got the binoculars there. He's got the goggles, but they don't move. They're part of the body. They're part of the sculpt. But what did kind of move, if you could get it kind of going and get it a little loose, was the little scarf thing coming off his helmet there that he could put in front of his face.
And really?
You could get it going, you know, and eventually it probably would have just broke off. But you could get it going. And so I would do that. But then here, you know, talk about here, I got AT-AT Commander flying the Y-Wing. So, you know, I don't know if I play by the rules, but I want to tell the right stories. But I was always a little bummed because this was the only Hoth figure I had. Mm. So much like when even today I play Battlefront 2, and if I, you know, and I see, you know, Grievous show up on Endor or something, I'm always like, I mean, technically he could. it just seems a little odd to me. Hoth Luke, he in my mind, he was in such a rush to get off the planet. In my story, he didn't have time to switch into the X-Wing pilot gear and just took off. Took off in this and was just tooling around the galaxy dressed for cold weather.
That's so great, because I think that's what those action figures did too. If you didn't have the right character for the right environment, you just did some headcanon, right?
Yeah.
Of like, you know, yeah, he's on a warmer planet, but these are the clothes he packed. So what are you going to do?
Yeah. And the other thing is, this was the only Luke figure I had.
Yeah.
Didn't have any other ones. So this was my Luke, and no lightsabers with it. All right, no lightsaber. So what are you going to do? I found like a little twig and broke it off and put it in his hand. You got to make do, which was great for Ewok weapons. But it always slightly frustrated me. And you know, again, we talk about the relationship with these little hunks of plastic and what they mean. And here I'm loving the AT-AT Commander and the Y-Wing. I think there could be a little bit to why I was more of a Han guy. I mean, there's a lot of reasons I'm a Han guy, and I love Luke. But, you know, growing up, I'm like, I did, the coolest part of Luke in my head was the lightsaber. I didn't have it.
Yeah.
I had war Luke. I had fighting Luke. Worse than that, I had get punched in the face by a Tauntaun, by a Wampa Luke on a Tauntaun. So it might have been part of it, too. But I do love this figure, and this is the one, the big reveal. My final week of the old job, where I once got in trouble for displaying my Star Wars and G.I. Joe toys on my professional desk. I had Luke in my suit pocket all week, just hanging out like a little rose, a little Hoth Luke, put the arms out so it would kind of stick. And I just walked around. There's actually some pictures of me, some people, oh, you're leaving, let me take a picture. And I took one of my office, and Luke is there sending me on to my next adventure.
Oh, that's so great. This is one of the figures that I didn't have that I really coveted. I really wanted that because it just looks cool. There's something about that scarf hanging down that made him look different. Is a figure and cool. I got on one of my birthdays the Rebel Soldier Hoth battle gear, and I, you know, I was a kid. I had some growing up to do. I always resented him just a little bit because I don't know if my parents. I think that my parents maybe thought he was Hoth Luke.
Yeah,
I think I'd asked for Hoth Luke, so I don't know if Hoth Luke wasn't there or they're just like. And now from a parent's perspective, like, yeah, you compare the two figures, like one's got a thing hanging down, but otherwise they're wearing kind of similar stuff. You know, from a parent's perspective, right. Like, what? I got you the guy in the snowsuit, right? That's what you wanted, right?
Yeah, what are you talking? It's the snow guy. What do you need?
You got a snow guy. Like, no, he needs the scarf hanging down. That's Luke Skywalker. Different colors entirely.
Yeah.
But I came to appreciate Hoth Rebel Trooper.
Yeah, Hoth Rebel Trooper, Hoth Rebel Commander. There's you need a lot of Hoth, but this is the only one I had, for that time. Again, but it came a little bit later, so I was really buying and asking for the figures during the Return of the Jedi era, which, gosh, again, I'm just analyzing it, Joseph. That might have been it, too, where, friends like you were playing with Jedi Luke, and I had old Snow Luke over here looking for his lightsaber.
Yeah, I mean, no wonder you were a Han guy.
Yeah, that's it. Solved. Deep psychological reasons.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side?
helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Are there. So that is my number two, Hoth Luke, which means we're almost our number ones. We're going to do some little runner-ups, though, little figures that almost made the list but still have a special place in our heart. It looks like we share one. Is that?
Yes, but yeah. I think you should go for it.
Okay. I'll start this off by Imperial Gunner, a.k.a. Death Star Gunner. And this is the one that for me, this is I still have it. I still have this figure. And unlike Attic Commander, who just ended up in the Y-Wing, I intentionally, when the lady came to buy the figures for me and I had them in a little star lunch bail box there, I pulled this one out. I looked at all of them, John. I looked at all Kenobi, Vader, Hoth Luke. I looked at all of them and I said, this one, I need to save this guy. And this is the Power of the Force line in 85, right? And he is, you talk about technology getting better. It's a great figure. It's dark black, but you see a lot of details. You've got the helmet and then the red kind of visor portion. Released in 84, excuse me, and came with that coin. I remember the coin. Mm-hmm. It's a great design. And as Jedi Business describes, the blaster fits nicely into the right hand. It did. It had like a, almost like a satisfying click, I remember. It's a little handheld little pistol there. Love this figure. It is a special place in my heart because of that.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great one. I think this this Power of the Force line was really special because it was kind of this last burst of it. Seems like they're going to keep making them. They're coming with these coins now. Just a much kind of wider and stranger collection of characters. And I had Death Star Gunner. And I think I don't remember playing with him a ton. I just remember being fascinated by him because of the weird helmet and because of the, you know, now we're getting into 84 and 85 and like now Spider-Man is in the black suit in the comic books. And now, you know, what's the coolest thing that can happen to any character from anything, they wear black. That was just a thing. And this guy was, he's all black and it's so cool. I really just love the Death Star Gunner just aesthetically. Not that I would have used that word then, but that's the truth. He just looked cool.
He did just look cool. He almost looked like a, he almost looked like a Cobra figure in G.I. Joe. He almost looked like he could have fought alongside Destro or something. So might have been something. So that is the first on our list. What else? What do you have on your runner-ups?
Yeah, so I needed to just shout out Bespin Luke and Bespin Han. They narrowly didn't make my list, but I wanted to really highlight that Jedi Knight Luke. But my Bespin Luke meant a ton to me. Played with it so much, thought that outfit looked so impossibly cool. And then my brother had Bespin Han and that jacket. I don't know. For me, that look of Han is like the look. I'm kind of glad they went back to a different take on it for Force Awakens. It is, you know, different jacket. But those figures, there's something about them that just kind of captured the essence of those characters in a really great way. And I've told the story before where my brother got upset that we were moving away from Portland and briefly ran away, taking only his Han Solo Bespin action figure with him, and ran away so briefly that nobody knew, and then he came back and he was upset. It's like, I took Bespin Han and I left. So there's that. Also wanted to throw out the cloud car pilot. I've talked about my weird cloud car pilot obsession before. Had acted out that he was trying to date Leia. Leia was not interested. She was loyal to Han, even though he was in carbonite. But he was one of those characters, like, I did not see him or focus on him the two times I got to see the film in 1980. No, I was not going home dreaming of the cloud car pilot, who's you barely see. But he's an action figure that existed, so I made up stories. And he's just, he's so weird. He came with the communicator that fits in his hand. His little arm is bent to talk. And he is just a perfect example of this character is barely from the movie. And especially if you don't have a cloud car, which I didn't, you have to make up a story about what the hell is going on in this character's life.
So it's, you know, he's smitten on Leia, you know, that's fair. I get that. But, you know, you're just a cloud car pilot. You don't fly the Millennium Falcon.
I think he mostly just spent his time making calls on that cool communicator.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking at it right now here in Jedi Business. It's one of the weirdest figures in the best way. It's like, of course they'd make it. It's even by now, you got the weirdos in the background are figures. It's part of what Kenner's doing. But man, it's just yellow boots, gloves, big orange, white hat. Like, there's a lot of everything but nothing going on. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is just I look at him now and it's like, I was really happy to have this guy. What a world.
What a world. What a world we live in.
So I got a couple more, but I don't want to monopolize. So
sure. Yeah. No. I'm going to Weequay figure. And they did eventually release a little bit more of Jabba's henchmen out on the skiff in the Power of the Force line with Barada, Nictu, and company. All the friends are represented on the skiff. But this is back in the Return of the Jedi line, and this is just, you know, generic Weequay, which, oddly enough, especially after Mandalorian, it just, anytime there's a Weequay, people just, like, I start to wonder, is that just, they all have that name? Is it like Tito in Force Awakens? Like, I don't know. I want to dive into that. Released in 83. I did have it. It did not survive the garage sale, but I do have one now. Old pal there, Rachel Cushing from the Schmodown, once gifted me one. She's like, I got this for you there. It seems like you really needed it. Like you missed it from your life. years ago, I actually got it. And so it was on my bookshelf. I think on this last move, I think it's in that storage box I need, which has the Imperial Gunner and Attack Commander. And some other ones, including that new Hoth Luke. I had to re-get that Hoth Luke at one point at a convention, and a classic Han. But yeah, so Weequay, it's a, you know, like I said, 83. The sculpts are getting better, the details better. He's got a really detailed face. He's got the weapon there that kind of goes across the Force Pike that goes across two hands, like a two-handed weapon. That was pretty cool, and loved everything about the figure.
Yeah, I love what you're saying. The you know, loving Bosk. Return of the Jedi was just like Bosk times what at the time seemed like hundreds, because now we got all of these, you know, detailed fun creatures from Jabba's palace, and he was definitely a big one who was, you know, central in the film.
Yeah, and I got two little double features here. Darth Vader. Like I don't want to not mention Darth Vader, and I don't remember which version I had. You did have to push the lightsaber up through his forearm. So I had that version, and it was a great figure. It was big, tall, but again, the lady's like, "I'll give you $2." And I say, "Great, let me grab just this one." And I reach for the Imperial Gunner, not Vader. Like, I'm like in my head, I'm like, did I just think I was grabbing Vader? No, I let Vader go. I don't know why. Love the figure. And then the other one I want to pair it together with that is Mail Away Emperor. I had that one too. I mailed away. There's like
really,
there's two toys I mailed away for in my youth that I remember. Mail Away Emperor. And then the G.I. Joe sail surfboard, like the little windsurfer. Those are the two items I mailed away for as a kid. And I had the Mail Away Emperor one. I remember the little box. It came in a little plastic and, you know, not a Kenner card back, which was a little disappointing, quite frankly. But gone out of my original collection.
Yeah. Oh, that's so great. Yeah, I definitely had the send away for experience. I honestly can't remember. I remember learning about it because of the ads for Boba Fett. I don't remember if we sent away from him for him or if you just got him once he came out on the card. We did. Before Return of the Jedi, they had a thing going where you could send away for an accessory pack. And it came with a bunch of cool things, including the breathing apparatus to be inside the worm, to be inside the space slug, the Exegorth. Yeah. And we got, this is like the kind of humor that eventually like appeared in The Simpsons and felt so real, because it was the kind of things that we'd actually experienced. It was that, you know, the sort of the coldness of corporations compared to children's desires. Like we collected and we scraped and we dreamed of the stories we could tell once we got these accessories. And we just got, you know, like a little card back saying, "Sorry, we ran out. Bye."
Good luck with your future.
It was totally, we got Krusty clowned, you know, before that was, you know, kind of story you told, you know, but that whole vibe of Krusty, like, we're going to the happiest place on earth, Tijuana. Yeah. Like, that was the energy it felt when we just like, did you scrape and save up and cut out and ask your parents to help you send in? Too bad. Bye.
Too bad. Too bad. Too bad. Oh, that's spectacular.
So, yeah. Even though I got burned on that, I was excited to send away for one of my other runner-ups, and that is Anakin Skywalker.
Ooh,
I thought that was so cool that not only was, you know, Darth Vader is just like this kind old man underneath all that horror, but here was an actual action figure of him, and, you know, he had the really, for the time, detailed, cool Jedi robes and these really blaring blue eyes. I was so happy to get him, exactly as you're saying, just in a little cardboard box wrapped in plastic.
But
that
great
memory is strong.
And, you know, it was pretty powerful to see that name, like, in print, you know?
Yeah. That's Luke's actual father. That's Anakin. Yeah, that's really cool. And yeah, to think now just, like, how big a deal, you know, Anakin Skywalker is, people's relationship with that character now that the prequels, like back in the day, this was the Anakin Skywalker action figure, period.
That was. We're almost to our number ones, but I want to throw a little curveball on these ones, I especially looking at Jedi Business. And I we don't talk about these characters enough because, quite frankly, I don't really think they, I couldn't pick them out of the lineup in the movies. Warwick, Ramba, and Lumat, the other Ewoks. You know, Tebow and Paplu get a lot of the FaceTime there. Low gray, cheap chirpa. I had low gray. I have Paplu now. A mutual friend, Jeff May, actually gave me Paplu for my birthday last year. But yeah, Lumat, Roomba, and Warwick, the other three Ewoks, the leftover, the Gildenstern, the Rosencrantz and Guildenstern of the Ewoks. What's going on with that? We'll find out one day.
Yeah. This line of Power of the Force that came out at the end of the line there has so many cool figures in it. And that's my last runner up is from here. I mean, this, so it's got the extra Ewoks. It's got Anakin Skywalker eventually comes out carded, Death Star Gunner, Imperial Dignitary. But then it goes into some weird things like the Han Solo and Carbonite Chamber. That's an advance of technology. Luke Skywalker and Battle Poncho. R2-D2 with pop-up lightsaber.
Oh, yeah.
And as these were getting on the shelves, for me, from my experience, it was getting, there weren't the walls anymore, right?
Yeah.
They had moved on at the big stores at, you know, Toys R Us and Children's Palace. And even, you know, when you went to like a Sears, it was a much smaller little section. So this was the time in my life where it's like, I have money and I just really, really hope that one of those figures that I'm just drooling over is there. And if not, I'll have to get, you know, one of these other ones. And one of the figures that I desperately, desperately wanted, because I thought it was so cool and never got back in the day, is Luke Skywalker with the Imperial Stormtrooper outfit. Oh. You know, cool to have a trooper, but yeah, that was the dream. And when they were able to put the helmets on Leia and Lando, it's like, well, we, like you said at the beginning of this, like, but we need, then we're going to get Luke and Han, right? With the helmets you can take off, we're going to get them. I never saw this guy in the store. I never knew another kid who had him. And now in retrospect, you know, this was this last gasp full of great characters, Amon Amon, Yak Face, you know, a bunch of like weirdos, bunch of advanced, and it just faded and it went away with Star Wars for a while. Yeah. But I think this line is what made me spend all those years wishing and dreaming of like, if they have the technology.
Yeah.
If they can make Luke Skywalker without a helmet, if they can make as deep cut of a character as the Imperial Dignitary, what if the action figures ever came back and they made everything? They remade everything and they made all the characters we never had. And like, this line set me up to dream about what would eventually become Power of the Force 2 for years and years.
Absolutely. Dream a little dream of more Yak Faces. That's all we need.
Yeah. Ah.
Well said. Well said. This has been a great discussion. Walk down Star Wars memory lane. I hope you all out there listening are thinking back to the figures from this era that you fell in love with. We are now at our number one here on the list, our favorite Kenner Star Wars action figures. I'll go with my number one so Joseph can close the show with his number one. And mine, well, mentioned Mail Away Emperor. You mentioned Imperial Dignitary. Let's stay up in that throne room. Because my number one is Emperor's Royal Guard.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This one is, I'll tell you what, I'll start with here. You know, there's been a lot more of these figures released. It's a great design. Even, you know, Rian Johnson comes back. Well, if I'm going to have a throne room scene in Last Jedi, I got to have something that kind of looks like Royal Guard, just a different version of them. And I want to see them in action. Part of the reason was, Return of the Jedi, we just see him kind of walking along. But then you had that figure, and you had that figure in your hand. You always wondered, what would they do? And yeah, some legend stories come up, and you get to know a little bit more about them. But I think of all the figures that were released, I know there are more detailed figures. I know there's technically better figures. I still think this is my favorite Royal Guard figure, Joseph. This is the one. Bold, bright, felty, red.
Yeah, and you pull up that felt and see a lot of details.
Yeah, oh, yes, a jumpsuit. Oh,
exactly. Yeah, it was in Star Wars design and in action figure. Just the minimalism creates all this mystery. You know, that simple but evocative helmet, the felt cape that's just like the whole thing is a cape. Mm. And then the Force Pike, what's that about? This character and this figure is so great.
It's good. No longer in my life, but I did at one of I know it's so sad. I think I was at one convention. I had that, you know, you and I when we're ever at a Star Wars celebration specifically, but I think it was another convention floor. Might have been an LA Comic Con. I saw a bunch of Kenner figures and was over, and I had that, like, you know what? Screw it. I need an Emperor's Royal Guard. I'm going to buy it. And I was just doing the old casual. I said, how much is that one there? Let me see the Emperor's Royal Guard. He's like, oh, yeah. And he gave me the figure in a case. And it was like $250. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. I'm gonna come back. I'm going to get a hot dog and I'll be around here again. And I think I just got my car and went home.
I'm going to get a hot dog and play the lottery so I can afford an Emperor's Royal Guard.
Yeah. So I love it. That's why it's my number one.
That is a great number one. I really love that you picked one that is both about just the absolutely cool design and the room to just imagine, right? And make up whatever adventures this mysterious character is going to have.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I love that. Right. So that's my number one. Sir, what is your most favorite of the Star Wars Kenner figures?
Yeah, it had to be this. It is Yoda, the Jedi Master with hard orange snake. I have said a lot about this figure over our years doing Force Center. This I have a memory of finding him. You know, saw the movie, read about him in the storybooks, the trading cards. Yoda worked his absolute magic. It was like he's a I can kind of tell he's a Muppet like from Sesame Street, but he's awesome.
Yeah,
but he's somehow like, you know, real, and he is, you know, funny and wise, and people underestimate him, and just the character was so great, so powerful. I so wanted him. It's dreamlike. I remember kind of the way the shelves were organized. I know it was somewhere in downtown Portland. I remember that we took public transportation. I was out on the town doing something with my mom, and I remember my brother wasn't there, and I hoped for him, and I turned and he was there, and I just remember, you know, the absolute joy. He was super hard to find. This was like the rare time in my life. Part of the reason I like that those Portland Empire Strikes Back years, it's like really the only time in my life that there were just a bunch of kids on the block and we all hung out.
Yeah.
And nobody had Yoda and everybody wanted Yoda. And there was an older kid in particular who waited until my older brother wasn't around and kept trying to deal make to get me to give up Yoda. He would come with like his case full of like, I'll give you all these other troopers. Is the, you know, this stormtrooper with the leg broken off, and this, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi with half of his face scraped away. You know, you want this, you want a Princess Leia with the white gown? She doesn't have the vinyl cape anymore. Like he absolutely tried to hose me, you know?
Yeah.
And it wasn't that I was like, I am so, you know, wise about what you're doing. It was just like, I loved Yoda, and it was just like, no, I wouldn't trade my dog away. I wouldn't trade a member of my family away. You know, I wouldn't trade my right arm away, and I'm not trading Yoda away. Get out of here.
Oh, damn, and sir.
Even more than playing with him, he was just like a companion, you know. I remember turning the water on the, you know, the side of the house for the gardening hose, and just bubbling up the water a little bit, and then really safely putting him on a dry spot, but so he'd look like he was in the swamp. I had a special weird little, you know, I don't know what it was, this little plastic kind of greenish container. It was probably for film originally. I don't know what it was. My dad gave it to me, but that's where Yoda lived. He was separate from everybody, you know? So this little guy has just been, you know, a friend and a companion my entire life. He's got the weird little gray suit on underneath because he can take his cloth jacket off. And I've told this story before. You know, moved to Los Angeles about 7 years ago now from Minneapolis, and I just couldn't figure out how to really safely transport the Kenner figures. So I left them in our storage place in Minneapolis. And when we were visiting a couple of years back and kind of checking in on it, I just had this like, I can't leave Yoda behind. And I really carefully packaged him and bundled him up and, you know, protected him on the plane home and brought him home with me. And he is right on my desk, right by Revenge of the Sith Obi-Wan. So he's got to be my number one. I think he's a great figure.
Yeah.
I know it's weird. He came with hard orange snake, but he always has to me. So it's normal to me. And he also came with a soft brown one, but I have hard orange snake Yoda, and he's just my little buddy, and he always will be.
I mean, look at the face on this figure. The sculpt is just, he is your little buddy. He's mischievous Yoda. And it's so warm. It's so great.
Yeah. He's just great. He is. He's warm. He's a little friend. He's my little green friend without any of the cruel sarcasm of Darth Sidious. He is my actual little green friend.
It's so wonderful. I never had this Yoda figure. I kind of wish I did. And the detail, again, the little felt capes, the little felt robes and all these lines are pretty cool. They're kind of simple in their own way, but I like them when they're real. This is just a great little figure, great little memory, everything about it. And I love that it's made that adventure. I have this vision of you like on a plane as an adult, but it's like you know, when like a little a kid goes on the plane flight by themselves with like a teddy bear, and like every flight attendant's coming up to you, "Are you okay, Joseph? How's your Yoda?" And you're like, "Good, we're going back home."
That did not outwardly happen, but that was the emotional truth of that plane ride for sure.
Sounds good. Oh, what a great way to bring home this list. Vintage Empire Luke, the Jedi Yoda teaching Luke, the Jedi Master. I love that. Just Yoda, parentheses, the Jedi Master. That's
perfect. The one and only. That's right.
Well, sir, thank you for sharing all your memories, all your trips home, all of the bartering that didn't happen for Hard Orange Snake Yoda and more. A fun list, a good walk down memory lane. I hope you out there listening got to take your own walk down memory lane. And as always, tweet out, share your vintage Kenner figures with us, the ones that you still have with those paint chips and those, what did you describe it? Half worn off face Kenobis. Just we want to see him. We want to see him. We know you have those all as well. Thank you listening for listening this week on Star Wars Rank. Been talking so much today. My mouth is as felty as these robes on these figures. We are on Twitter at Force Center Pod. We are on Instagram and YouTube as well. You can also like our Facebook page at Force Center Podcast. You can get a t-shirt at tpublic.com/user/Force Center. Get an audiobook on us if you want to by going to audibletrial.com/Force Center. You can support us directly at patreon.com/Force Center. I'm at Ken Napsok, and my website is kennapsok.com. And Joseph, they can find you in several spots as well.
That's right. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Joseph Scrimshaw, and you can check out my website, josephscrimshaw.com, for all of my other comedy adventures, including my other podcast, Obsessed, where this week we are talking about WandaVision. If you're an MCU fan, you can check that one out with the link on my website, josephscrimshaw.com.
Sounds great. Do it, my friends. Do it, my friends. So for the Emperor's Royal Guard in his jumpsuit, Yoda and his hard orange snake in his gray jumpsuit, that is it for this week. Star Wars has been ranked.